The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello there. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. And underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Well, it's time to return one more time to the January 2022 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month has been Winter Welcome. We're going to talk about other things other than winter this time. And you know, this is the last reading of the month, so for those of you who are very loyal and have reasonable memories, you will know that I always read the Decades series at the first reading from the end of the month. And this is a special one because it's January and it's time to change the decade. We've done the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And, well, I'll let you guess which decade we're going to do now. But I'm going to tell you in just a second as I read the introduction. Since 2018, author Philip Gerard has delved into pivotal decades of the 20th century. In the coming year, his stories about the 1980s will shine a spotlight on North Carolinians who made strides in law, politics, medicine, historical preservation, sports, and more. This month, a preview of the decade shaped by local heroes. And there's a picture of a whole bunch of them here on the cover. From left to right, in the 1980s, Henry Fry became the first black Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court. George Hitchings and Gertrude Ellion of Research Triangle Park won a Nobel Prize. Dorothy Sproul Redford organized an inaugural reunion at Somerset Place. And a guy named Michael Jordan got his start at UNC Chapel Hill. A new series, 1980, the Decade of Local Heroes. After a period of radical change, North Carolinians enter the 1980s with renewed energy and optimism. The time is right for men and women of passion and talent to step up and make their mark on our state. Written by Philip Gerard. On March 2nd, 1980, as if to erase the tumult of the 1970s, the snowstorm of the century sweeps across the state. Near blizzard conditions prevail on the coastal plain, with local accumulations between a foot and 30 inches. Travel stalls as residents dig out and tally the toll in property damage and deaths. In the coming decade, a parade of local heroes steps up to accomplish extraordinary things across the state. Henry Fry, a native of Richmond County, becomes a captain in the U.S. Air Force after graduating from the Agricultural and Technical College of North Carolina. But when he tries to vote, he faces an onerous literacy test designed to disenfranchise black citizens. Undeterred, he follows civil rights activist Floyd McKissick's path to UNC Law School, becoming the first black student to enroll for the entire 3 years of study. Fry goes on to make history as the first African-American elected to the General Assembly since 1900, when the Democrats effectively shut down voting rights for black citizens. He serves from 1968 until 1980. Then he's elected to the state Senate, and in 1983 is appointed to the state Supreme Court. He rises to become Chief Justice, the first African American to occupy the highest judicial post in North Carolina. Harvey B. Gantt is another young black man who won't take no for an answer. Having grown up in segregated Charleston, South Carolina, he studies architecture at Iowa State University, then applies to Clemson Agricultural College, an all-white institution that denies him admission. His lawsuit reaches the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which rules in his favor, and in 1963, he becomes the first to break that color barrier. Gant augments his architecture degree from Clemson with a master's degree in city planning from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and sets up shop in Charlotte. His firm takes on challenging large-scale commissions with the aim of using architecture to help create a sense of community. Gant and his associates design many of the signature projects that form the modern identity of downtown Charlotte: Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, the Johnson C. Smith University Science Center, the Charlotte Transportation Center, Imagine On, and Trans-America Square. In 1983, after serving for 9 years on the city council, Gant becomes Charlotte's first black mayor, a position he holds for 2 terms. He guides the city to reimagine itself as a model of the New South. Like Charlotte, Asheville needs to reinvent itself. Too many of the beautiful Art Deco buildings downtown, a legacy of the 1920s boom, have suffered neglect in the decades since. The Great Depression, the loss of manufacturing and timber industries, the stagflation of the 1970s, a huge suburban mall has forced many local businesses to close. J. Patrick Whalen, a longtime resident and co-founder of Public Interest Projects, later recalls to the Atlantic, "The sense that many in Asheville have given up on the future and that new ideas will be met with typical refrain, 'That will never work here, don't even try.'" City officials float a plan to raise 11 blocks of the old downtown and build another enclosed mall. John Lancius is among the first to resist such demolition. He and his sister Dawn are deeply engaged in renovating old properties. Wayne Caldwell, a businessman and writer, and Roger McGuire, a former advertising executive, also share a vision of Asheville's future that doesn't include bulldozing the historic downtown core. Whalen partners with Julian Price, who invests $15 million in Asheville's downtown. A new creative economy burgeons, attracting artists and musicians. Other North Carolinians reach for glory in a variety of ways. As a high school sophomore in Wilmington, Michael Jordan didn't make the varsity basketball team. Not tall enough, according to his coach, Clifton Pop Herring, but he persevered, making the varsity squad as a junior. He begins the decade playing for UNC Chapel Hill, and in the McDonald All-American game scores 30 points, a record. 1 year later, he sinks the game-winning basket against Georgetown to lead his team to the NCAA championship. In 1984, he turns pro. But before joining the Chicago Bulls, he scores 137 points in 8 games in the Los Angeles Summer Olympics, including 20 points in a final game against Spain for the gold medal. He soon establishes himself as the premier player in the NBA. At the Burroughs Wellcome Laboratory in Research Triangle Park, a team of scientists uses a novel approach to cure illness. Gertrude B. Ellion and George H. Hitchings abandon the trial-and-error method of testing chemicals against disease and instead design their own chemicals, specifically engineered to attack malignant cells. Their collaborative effort leads to treatments for leukemia, malaria, and meningitis, among other maladies. In 1988, they, along with Sir James W. Black of the United Kingdom, are awarded the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine. In his acceptance speech, Hitchings cites William Faulkner's Verities of the Human Heart. He declares, "As a scientist, I should like to suggest 3 verities of the human mind: curiosity, creativity, and the love of knowledge." Michael J. Smith, a native of Beaufort, attends the U.S. Naval Academy, then earns a master's degree in aeronautical engineering. As a naval aviator, he deploys to Vietnam, piloting A-6 intruders in combat. He serves two more tours of duty aboard the USS Saratoga and logs nearly 5,000 flying hours in 28 types of aircraft. His final challenge is spaceflight. He joins NASA's astronaut program in 1980, where he is selected to pilot the Space Shuttle Challenger, slated for a fall 1986 launch. It is to be his first and last space mission. Also aboard the Challenger is Dr. Ronald E. McNair, a graduate of North Carolina A&T and an expert in laser physics. McNair, the mission specialist, has one successful space shuttle mission under his belt. Aboard Challenger in 1984, he became the second African-American to launch into space and the first person to play music there on his saxophone. The flight ends in one of the most widely televised calamities in history and results in deep soul-searching at the space agency. It is the first time NASA has ever lost astronauts on a mission. The war that took Captain Smith halfway around the world has brought thousands of newcomers to the state. After the fall of Saigon in 1975, some 2,400 of about 125,000 Vietnamese refugees chose to settle in North Carolina, and a second wave brings more in the 1980s. In addition, about 2,000 Hmong from the mountainous regions of Laos have formed a thriving community in Greensboro. For generations before emancipation, Somerset Place Plantation in Washington County was home to more than 850 enslaved people. In 1986, Dorothy Sproul Redford, whose ancestors worked Somerset Place, organizes the Somerset Homecoming. Nearly 2,000 descendants throng the grounds for a feast of chitterlings and corn pone and music energized by the beat of African drums as they swap stories and parse familial connections. Redford becomes site interpreter of Somerset Place, state historical site, and carries on the tradition. In the beginning, when we were first brought to these shores against our wills, our strength was in ourselves, in our bonds with one another, she says. Somewhere along the line, in complex and subtle ways, those selves were severed, the bonds broken. My journey, climaxed on this day, was a reunion in every sense of the word. On the coast, a flurry of development, water pollution and pesticides threaten the nesting grounds of birds such as the brown pelican, white ibis, and blue and night herons. Dr. James F. Parnell, a biologist at UNC Wilmington, and a corps of graduate students established two sanctuaries in the Cape Fear River estuary on Battery and Striking Island. Soon, the two islands expand to a coast-wide network named in his honor, the Dr. James F. Parnell Colonial Waterbird Sanctuary System. Just as snow ushered in the decade, a blizzard strikes the coast toward the end of 1989. Cape Hatteras records more than 13 inches of snowfall, and Wilmington sets an all-time record with 15 inches and a low temperature of 0 degrees on Christmas morning, the first white Christmas in its history. Coming next month, Henry Fry breaks down barriers. And now we've covered all the main articles in our state magazine this month, so we get to take those ones that are parts of regular features and just a few pages long and learn more about our state. We're going to start out with local under the heading Locals Guide, Hickory. The heart of this city flourishes as a hub of art, food, and entertainment, with the help of an impassioned community advocate. Written by Katie King. Little sign here, a little caption beside three pictures of Hickory. It says, Hickory has a lot to offer. Browse the shops in Union Square, explore the exhibits at the Hickory Museum of Art, and order a classic Maganada, or pineapple cilantro margarita, from Massamore Cantina. The first time Clice Plant visited her husband's hometown of Hickory in 2006, she thought, how cute! Although back then, not everyone would have agreed with her. Downtown was quiet and somewhat empty. Businesses often closed by 3 p.m. and the historic Carolina Theater was just about the only attraction. Still, Platt had grown up in a planned community outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, that didn't have a walkable or historic downtown, and Hickory was exactly what she imagined a downtown should be. Since moving to the North Carolina foothills more than a decade ago, Platt has been part of a city's exciting growth, serving on the boards of the Hickory Museum of Art and a major bond project designed to attract more people downtown. Part of that project, Union Square, is now the centerpiece of downtown, with more than 20 shops and restaurants, plus beautiful outdoor spaces that host a weekly farmers market, concerts, and dining. Being surrounded by people who are passionate about what they're doing makes me want to do things for our community, Plant says. It's a place that's so welcoming, and if you want to get to work, they let you. So where might you shop? How about Bottega, a soulful place? About 100 local artists are represented in the jewelry, clothing, pottery, and original art at this boutique, which opened in 2015. You'll be good head to toe, and then some, Plant says. It's so vibrant. It's a funky, artistic vibe, yet comfortable, and you're also supporting local artists. Carolina Crafted. When Amanda and Anthony Gaglia opened their home goods store nearly 4 years ago, they mainly sold decor that Amanda made. Now they offer handmade candles, soap, bath bombs, sprays, embroidered kitchen towels, and more, all made by their family or other local artists. Plant enjoys the homemade fire starters, small pine cones embedded in leftover candle wax. Life doesn't suck. That's S-U-C-C. At her storefront, hold on a second. Had to get that cough over with, I apologize. At her storefront in the 1938 Harris Arcade, April Tyner specializes in arranging succulents inside antique vessels and locally made ceramics and macrame. It's not even a plant shop. It's really art, Plant says. Tyner also hosts classes and plant swaps and helps businesses and homeowners revamp their plant decor. How about eating? Massamore Cantina. Located in a former hosiery mill, this restaurant serves traditional and inventive Tex-Mex dishes with homemade tortillas, scratch-made sauces, and margaritas mixed with freshly squeezed fruit juices. The neon lights, bright colors, and extensive greenery make diners feel like they're in Mexico. Hatch Sandwich Bar. This hole-in-the-wall restaurant and bottle shop specializes in pork, vegetarian, and deli-style sandwiches. Plant recommends the pulled pork grilled cheese with a side of maple Brussels sprouts. Owners Zach Harkins and Colin Macon often source their produce from the Hickory Farmers Market. Old Hickory Station. The former train depot now houses a popular restaurant and market owned by Old Hickory Brewery, just around the corner. Sometimes people get caught up just looking at the market, Plant says. They have great desserts and great cheeses at the market, and their pizzas, oh my goodness, they have the biggest, fattest pepperoni. Vintage House. When we want to unwind, this is where we go, Plant says, of this fine dining restaurant inside a circa 1915 home. It's a great place for a date night. Chef and owner Matt Parker's grilled duck with ginger glaze, and sweet potato puree is her personal favorite, and the creme brulee, she says, is the best in town. How about staying? Two nightly rental properties give visitors to Hickory an opportunity to stay just a short walk from shopping, dining, and other downtown attractions. The Farmhouse Chic Loft 220, located above the room at 220 event space on Union Square, sleeps up to four people and includes a kitchen and living room. A block away, the more industrial-inspired Stay Here Instead offers four separate lofts with a kitchen, a living room, and one or two bedrooms each. All housed in a 1930s warehouse, both rentals are available on Airbnb.com. And if you want to play, how about the Catawba Science Center? This 3,500-square-foot facility includes a planetarium that hosts star and laser shows, an aquarium with a stingray tank the Naturalist Center, featuring preserved animals, insects, and fossils, and science games and activities for kids. Hickory Museum of Art, North Carolina's second oldest art museum, features more than 1,000 items in its permanent collection, including a large variety of folk art, plus exhibits that rotate regularly. Sometimes art museums can be seen as exclusive, Plant says, but we have reached out to people in the community to make it inclusive through free admission, greater access for students, and culturally diverse exhibits. Hickory Community Theater. This theater has been staging performances, starting with radio dramas, since 1948, and the building, formerly the Firehouse and City Hall, has been around since 1921. See The Color Purple from January 21st through February 5th on the main stage, and By the Beautiful, Beautiful Sea in the Fireman's Kitchen Black Box Theater from February 18th through March 5th. Now, welcome home, January resolutions. Get organized, pen plus pillar in High Point. Taylor Mahiki has always loved the feel of paper. My mom used to send letters to our house just so that I would get something in the mail, she says. In 2015, when the self-taught painter and designer decided to start her own business, she remembered how special seeing her name on an envelope and reading a handwritten note made her feel. Pen plus Pillar, the High Point stationery business run by, I think I pronounced the name wrong. It's Malk, I think, M-A-H-L-K-E. I thought that was an I there. And her husband, Justin, started out with cheerful, whimsical greeting cards, all of which Taylor paints herself and has since expanded to grocery pads, prints, and one of the most popular new products, planners. Customers come into their storefront, which opened in March 2021, often head straight into the table of spiral-bound planners, adorned with tigers walking along vines, bright oranges and lemons bursting from branches, and golden bumblebees, just across from the wall of greeting cards where it all started for Malk. In a world of texts and emails, she says, I like that we're creating something for people to encourage each other and stay in touch in a personal way. Her mom still sends her cards on occasion. Now Malk immediately recognizes her own design on the card, but the message inside is always a surprise. They're at 1345 North Main Street, Suite 101 in High Street. They have a website, penandpillar.com. And now, try something new, sandboarding in Nag's Head. Christina Carpenter hadn't been on a sled for nearly 30 years, but after watching her kids zip down the slope of a 40-foot dune on a sandboard at Jockey's Ridge State Park, she thought, I want to try that. She sat on the back of the board, and after a couple of partial runs, she scooted to the bottom, laughing with delight. That felt like what I remember from sledding, she says. The Carpenters from the small town of Findlay, Illinois, rented the sandboard from Kitty Hawk Kites and took turns sliding down the dunes during their first visit to the Outer Banks. A sandboard is a cross between a snowboard and a sled. There are no bindings or slots for your feet, just a rope attached to the front of the board, giving riders a way to keep their balance while they sit or stand if they're feeling ambitious. Sand doesn't permit the carving back-and-forth runs that are possible in snow and ice, but it's common to see people boarding even in winter. When Carpenter arrived at Jockey's Ridge, she had no intention of riding the dunes. I thought it was just going to be for the kids, she says. I'm glad I did it. Jockey's Ridge State Park in Nag's Head, and they have a very long web address. Look them up on Google if you'd like. Learn a language, Chickle, or Chickley, I don't know how it's pronounced, in Chapel Hill. Inside Chickley National, or rather Language Institute in Chapel Hill, Perla Sates pages through restaurant menus printed in Spanish for a role-playing exercise on ordering Latin American dishes. Let's act out, she says to her student, practicing a decades-old teaching technique that she learned while studying English and French in the mid-90s. Sates only speaks Spanish, and the student echoes the food and drink phrases that they've rehearsed. The same interactive style is used during private and group courses on more than 15 languages, including French, German, and Mandarin, taught mostly by native speakers. States and Spanish teacher Rebecca Cabrera Bochickel, which stands for Chapel Hill Institute for Cultural and Language Education, in 2014. 15 years after it was established, they offer language programs for children and adults, including translation and interpreting services. It's never too late to immerse yourself in a new culture, Seitz says. That's the magic of language. 105 Corner Drive in Chapel Hill, CHICLE.com. Eat local, the S&W Market in Asheville. When people of a certain age pass through the Art Deco entryway of Asheville's S&W Market, memories of the cafeteria that was housed there from 1929 until the 1970s come flooding back. These days, 7 local vendors serving chef-driven meals, craft beer and cocktails and ice cream have replaced the typical cafeteria food, but the look and feel of the place are largely the same. Douglas Ellington, the architect behind many of downtown Asheville's most iconic buildings, designed this location of the former Charlotte cafeteria chain to be especially grand, says Ann Aldridge of Ellington Realty, the company that manages the new food hall. At one time, S&W was truly the center of the downtown Asheville community, and she hopes that it will be again. 56 Patton Avenue in Asheville, SWMarketAVL.com. Here's some of the items they have on the menu there. It says, or pick your favorite vendor or try them all on a food tour of Asheville. Highland Brewing Company, 18 taps of Highland's year-round beers like the popular Gaelic Ale and AVL IPA, and seasonal brews. The Buxton Chicken Palace, the buttermilk fried chicken sandwich made famous by Elliot Moss and Meherwan Irani of Buxton Hall Barbecue. Farm dogs, hot dogs from the Hickory Nut Gap Farm in Fairview, sausages from Vandell Farms in Lake Lure, and vegan German-style pretzels from Asheville-based Blunt Pretzels. Peace, love, tacos. Tacos, taco salads, Mexican street corn, and nachos made with locally sourced ingredients whenever possible. The Hop, ice cream, salted caramel, vanilla bean, and chocolate year-round, plus imaginative seasonal flavors like blueberry kale, cardamom, and sweet beet. The Times Bar, classic and specialty craft cocktails, non-alcoholic drinks, and coffee, with or without booze. Bun intended, Thai street food like pork belly, bao, salapao, or pulled pork enclosed in a steamed bun, and spicy som tam or green papaya salad. Well, my friends, that is all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.